morning will be Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age."
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be here with you. It's great to have a beautiful, sunshiny spring day, and we're thankful that each of you could gather with us. We also have some visitors, and I know that this time of year where we have some people coming through, and we're glad to have them. I have some friends from Freed Harmon I went to school with that are passing through on their way up to Northern Kentucky, and so we're thankful to have them. Change is a necessity in life, isn't it? Oftentimes we don't want change, oftentimes we don't like change, but certainly change always happens. We're going through some changes here at our church family, with three of our elders resigning over the last 6 months or so, and I'm sure that that can cause some concern and worry in our church family. I could imagine that people say, "Wonder what's going on at Seven Oaks." I heard that Josh had even talked to another church, and three elders have resigned, and the attendance is down. And I'm sure people are saying, "Wonder what's going on in our community," or other churches are maybe asking those things. First of all, I want to repeat that I'm not going anywhere and want to emphasize that. But let me say that I'm reminded of the story of Mark Twain when he was touring in Europe, and he was raising some money over there, and the story had got back to the U.S. that he had died because he had been a little sick. And he said he reportedly said that the accounts of my death are greatly exaggerated. I would like to say and emphasize that if you hear things in the community or you hear things even in the church like that, that those things are greatly exaggerated. That we need to remember that transitions and that change happens to families, and it happens in churches. And our church family has existed for over 100 years. And you think about the numerous transitions and changes and trials that this church family has faced through that 100 years, and how it remains a strong and loving church. It seems that when we go through times of transition and change, we need to be reminded that our future is as bright as the promises of God. We need to be reminded what we're about and who we are. And we need to return to those basic principles of what the church is about and what our purpose is, to remind us that the transition and changes are always going to happen, but what is key is remembering our vision and our purpose. And so for the next several Sunday mornings, we'll be talking about our church family and about our purpose and our vision and about what we as a church should be about, and about how we should interact and continue to reach out in our community so that we can do great works now and into the future. When you think about Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The idea is actually that where there is no revelation, where there is no word of God, the people perish. But of course, this great statement has been a biblical verse that's been used often to talk about where there is no vision, where there is no purpose, the people will perish. It's important that when you go through times of transition, that you remind yourself what your purpose and what your vision is. Our Lord lived with a purpose. He came to this earth with a purpose. For example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus would speak about his purpose when he says on that account that he came to call not the righteous but sinners. Later on in chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, Jesus would say, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth, for I've not come to bring peace but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Christ said he came with a purpose that would even cause some people to be divided, whether they believed in him or not. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says that he came with the purpose to establish his church. For I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Christ came with the purpose to build his church. In chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, in verse 38, he speaks of his purpose. He says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He says, I've come to do the will of my Father. And in chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that we might have abundant life. Christ lived with a purpose. What is your purpose? What is our purpose? It is the vision that we should constantly keep before us of our purpose that should cause us to want to be united together as a church. That vision should have drawn you here this morning. That vision that I spoke of, the 100-year history of this church, is why this church existed and why it will continue to exist is because of our purpose. Years ago, the Harding that's in Arkansas, but the Harvard that's up in the Northeast, they were created in 1636. And you may not have known this, but Harvard was created as a religious institution. And it was created actually as a school to train ministers. Their motto was Truth for Christ and the Church. And their slogan or their mission statement was to be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and the studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. If you go to their website today, some almost 400 years later, you'll not find that is their same mission. Now their mission is to just educate in a comprehensive way and to provide a secular education. What happened? Over the centuries, they changed away from their mission. Many, many churches, many businesses, many institutions change away from their mission as years go by. It's really important that the church always reminds itself of its mission. Why are we here? What is our purpose? When you think about over the last 20 years, there's been a big emphasis in the business world and also in the religious world to emphasize purpose statements or mission statements. And there's value in those, and we've talked about those from time to time here. We often use a slogan, practicing first century Christianity in the 21st century, or we talk about other things to love God and love others. But really, when you think about why and how did the church exist for almost 2,000 years without any kind of, quote, formal mission statement, it is because the main thing that Christ wants us to be about is very simple, isn't it? The main thing is the two greats. What are Christians supposed to be about? The great commandment and the great commission. The two greats. When you think about these two greats, it is these two greats that should compel us. And when we think about the beautiful bride of Christ, when we think about the church of Christ, there is nothing more important on this earth than the church. When you think about us putting everything we can toward the church, and it's being the only institution in this world that has the importance of being God's body on this earth, that has the importance of being God's body for the saved, has the importance of being the vessel to reach out as the ambassador for Christ to reach the lost for this world. You see, when we think about the purpose of the church, and we think about the value of the church, we need to be reminded, and we think about as the church goes through, as time and circumstances and transitions have to come, because that's life, and life is never going to stay the same, that as transitions come and as time passes on, we need to remind ourselves once again of why we exist and what we're here for and what we're supposed to be about. So what we need to do as individuals, So what we need to do as a church is constantly remind ourselves, who am I? Who are we? And what are we about? And really nothing summarizes that better than thinking about the two great. The first great commandment, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What is the vision? What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of everybody that wants to serve God? That is our all-consuming passion. That should be our desire, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's it, isn't it? To put God first. And the Bible speaks of this commandment in many ways. It speaks of it in, for example, in Matthew 6, 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It speaks of it in terms of denying ourselves and taking up a cross and following after Christ. It speaks about it being an emotional love, as well as, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. It's also an obedient love, that because we love God, we obey. It is the basic commandment of the Old Testament. In fact, this is no new commandment, as John says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, long ago, when God was giving the Mosaic Law, He gave what the Israelites called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. When God assembled His people around Mount Sinai, He said there's one great commandment. The Ten Commandments will flow out of this great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Later on in chapter 10, verse number 12 of Deuteronomy, He says to them, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what life's about. We need to remind our young people. We need to remind our old people. We need to remind our middle-aged people that what life is about is putting God first. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And that's a vision. That's a purpose. That gives direction to your life. That gives a sustaining, motivating force that encourages you to want to serve the Lord, to obey His commandments every day. That's powerful. When we think about a vision, and we think about people need a vision to sign on to, we think about a mission to sign on to, you know, every group, every kind of social organization will have, this is our mission statement. This is what we're about. If it's a humanitarian effort, we're about feeding children in Africa. Or if it's a effort to help shelter pets and animals that are orphaned, that's their mission. There's no greater mission than the church's mission. There's no greater constraining vision than the church's vision to put the Lord first, and to invite the lost world to love the Lord their God. The God who created them, the God who died for them, the God who loves them today with all their hearts. And notice, Jesus says, the second commandment is like it. Paul says the entire law in Romans chapter 13 hangs upon these two commandments. In other words, everything flows off of these. These are the foundational things. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, and that causes you to love your neighbor as yourself. We love others because God has loved us. In 1 John chapter 5, John has spoken a lot about love. He's spoken about no new commandment that God gives, but a new commandment in chapter 2, to love one another. And then in chapter 5, He says of this, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The Lord's commandments are not burdensome when they're not more than we can bear. God only asks us to do what is best for us. And so we love the Lord our God. We love others. What's our mission? That statement that so many churches have used, that statement that we've often used, that is so succinct, is really just focusing the great commandment to love God and to love others. What's our mission? What's our purpose? The great commandment to love God and love others. It ought to be to esteem others better than ourselves, to worship, to serve, and to obey God, and to make God our passion. That's our vision. But secondly, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. He gives us the Great Commandment as our vision, and He also gives us the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What an awesome, what a humbling task. Our job is to try to carry the gospel to this entire world. That's a vision that should humble us. It's a vision that should inspire us. It's a vision that means that we should care about our neighbors. Because of the Great Commandment, we love our neighbor. And because of the Great Commission, we care about their soul. We ought to be thinking about. We are God's vessel. The church's motto should never be, come and see. But the church's motto should always be, go and tell. We are not just to be good citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we are rather to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. You know the difference in an ambassador and a citizen? A citizen stays at home and occupies and does what he's supposed to do to be a good citizen. But an ambassador goes out representing the kingdom, representing his citizenship, and he is an ambassador for the kingdom. In Mayfield, tomorrow, we send out 250 or more ambassadors. That is, we are the ones who are sent. We are the ones who are the body of Christ, the mouth of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ. We are the ones who are compelled and constrained to tell others the love of Christ, because if you don't do it, no one else will. It's your responsibility. You see, the Great Commission is the Great Commission because it involves the entire world. When you think about the idea of time and space, time, for example, the time of our lifetime compared with the time of eternity. Think about our lifetime. Think about the vastness of eternity. And when you think about the space in terms of the entire world, and you think about some 7 to 8 billion souls upon this world, and people dying at a rate that's incredible, and people being born at an incredible rate. You think about that elements of physical space going on there. And you think about the urgency then that we have as Christians, because we have a limited time, because people are dying, and because our life is short, to tell people about the length and the responsibility and accountability of eternity. That's the Great Commission. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. So everything our church does and our purpose and our vision is the same as when it was established over 100 years ago, is to love our Lord with all of our heart, with all our soul, and to love our fellow man as ourselves, and to share the gospel with a lost and dying world, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all things that He had commanded us. When we think about the gospel, the Great Commission, this is what the New Testament emphasizes, isn't it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's our vision. God loved the world. We want to tell people about that Savior. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, we studied this in our men's class, Jesus had just healed the demonic man, and he tells him a basic evangelistic verse. Verse 19, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. For our church to grow, every person has to capture this responsibility and this vision that we've got to tell others what God has done for us. We've got to focus again in our own lives upon the great commandment, loving the Lord with all our heart, and the great commission, reaching the lost for the name of Christ. Telling others. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul would say, in verses 27 through 29, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery. What's this mystery? The mystery is Christ in you. Christ is in each of you. Those of you that are Christians, that have submitted your life to Christ, Christ is in you. And what a glorious mystery that is. And he says that that's your hope of glory. And he says because of that, because Christ is in you, because you have that hope of glory, we proclaim Christ. And we warn everyone. And we teach everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about this same idea and about warning everyone. When we talk about our vision and we think about that, those elements of time, the shortness of life, the length of eternity, and the responsibility we have, I'm reminded of verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's an accountability coming. Accountability coming for how well we have done the great commandment and the great commission. For we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we have done in the body, whether good or bad. And then he goes on and he says at the end of this chapter, verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to be ministers of reconciliation, bringing people together. God through Christ with the person. People can be reconciled to God through Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ, Paul says. He says, verse 20, God is making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Who have you implored lately? Who have you begged lately? Who have you prayed for lately? That they would be reconciled to God. If our attendance is down, then who's missing? Who do we need to be imploring? Who do we need to be seeking that have gone astray? That we need to encourage to come back? That we need to show the love that we have for them? You see, when we think about this job, this duty, it's an awesome vision. That's a vision that we should all sign on for. That is an excitement that all of us should be willing to say, that's worth giving my life for. When you think about all the things you can give your life for in our world and put your money and your heart and your time into, nothing compares with the bride of Christ. Nothing compares with the body of Christ. Nothing compares with the purpose that Christ gave you when you became a Christian. with the accountability Christ gave you when you became a Christian to obey the great commandment, to put God first in every decision you make. That's hard, isn't it? That's why we have to grow and repent regularly when we don't put Christ first. And to seek the lost, not just on a mission trip, not just through giving money for missions, but by thinking about who can we reach with the gospel. By thinking about our example and our word as we teach others. It's not come and see, it's go and tell. What is our vision? As we go through times of change that must come because life is going to demand it, because time passes on, we need to remind ourselves that the future of the church is bright. The potential is endless because it was established by Christ Himself. And it's the beautiful bride of Christ. We need to remind ourselves that the future is as bright as the promises of God. We need to remind ourselves of what we, who are now the bearers of that responsibility, should be doing. Our focus should be the great commandment and the great commission. And if we keep that purpose, we will be like a great steamship heading for its destination, focused and determined that it will reach its destination for the glory of God. This morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a part of our church family, if you don't have this purpose in your life, if your purposes involve things that are material or physical in nature, don't live just for today. Live for eternity. Don't live just for the pleasure of life. Live for the glory of God. Live to love the Lord, to love your fellow man, and to reach the lost. That's a purpose that we should all sign on to and that we can all get excited about. This morning, if you're not a child of God, let me encourage you to do that. And if you are a child of God, let me encourage you to rekindle that passion for doing that. And put the church and the Lord first in your life as we go forward. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing at this time. Mm-hmm.